Good morning, ladies. How are you? With all the challenges that these last few months have brought, I'm thankful for your desire to be grounded in the truth, that you would make it a priority to come and be reminded that we are not alone or at the mercy of the unexpected. We are not adrift in chaos. There is someone behind the events of our lives, in the big and the seemingly meaningless, and he is faithful. Amen, right? Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. And wouldn't you say that is where our hope for our motherly lies, in continual generational faithfulness? So we must be purposeful in our pursuit of truth in our mothering. Let's pray. Father, in a world of distraction and distortion, we come before you this morning to worship. Your word calls us to be single-focused, Father, and oh, you know how we struggle with this. Father, I pray that you, by the Spirit, through your power, Father, and grace, settle our hearts, awaken our minds this morning, Father, quicken our ears to hear, so we may walk away from this morning with a deeper understanding of your foundational truths and a resolute determination, Father, to put it into practice, all that you reveal. Show us, Father, areas we have not been doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Why am I here? Is my life significant? What can I do to ensure that my life counts? Is my life really making a difference? Does my life matter? These are timeless contemplations which are inevitably tied to the questions of life, purpose, and worth. All you have to do is glance at any social media venue or watch a news clip, and you can clearly see the age-old universal question of significance is alive and runs deep in the creation of man. Ever since the fall, man has been seeking to reestablish his purpose in the God-ordained roles. And I believe most of us at some point or another have bought into a lie or two pertaining to our identities. And I would say motherhood is no exempt. One of the struggles in motherhood we can repeatedly overlook as women is the challenge motherhood presents to our sense of purpose. Understanding our purpose and calling is an intricate part of being a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and the behold, new things have come. And being a new mom, add that on, and it can be even weightier. We can be busy about our lives that we forget the purpose behind them. We march into motherhood with visions of snuggly blankets and raising obedient warriors for Christ, but we get spit-up blankets and sinnerlings, as Chris Mueller calls them. Countless women, including many who claim and to know and love the Lord, find themselves making choices daily, which really do in many cases come back to, what's best for me? What makes me look good? Or isn't there more, or shouldn't I be doing more? Reasons that are really selfish, rather than saying, why did God put me here on this earth? What is my purpose of being here? And how can I best fulfill that purpose? We are driven hard by the demands of life, allowing them to direct our thoughts, instead of intentionally training ourselves in the truth that God has always a greater purpose. His purposes not only encompass our lives in all seasons, but those including all the lives around us. Through the daily routines and consuming tasks of motherhood, we can quickly lose many of the ways we used to understand the purpose of our lives. We may no longer be working outside the home, and now our worlds consist of two rooms, laundry room and kitchen. We might find friendships with our single or childless friends weakening as we enter a new season of having a fussy baby and we can't do a coffee date. Our relationship with our husband changes as it makes room for the relationship of family instead of just the two of us. Even church changes for us. We rarely get to sit through a service before a baby needs to nurse or an upset child needs to be picked up from a nursery. You were once sitting with your friends and other couples, and now you're in the mother's room with a child that won't latch. If we are honest, most of us have found ourselves disillusioned at some point with this new role of mom, since we never rightly considered the cost of godly motherhood. Like friends, boredom, loneliness, time, energy, finances. These are just a few of the changes that can be challenging to accept. And even though we are lovingly spurred on by fellow believing moms in the church that say, this is ministry and it's a higher calling, we wonder at times, why doesn't it feel like this for me? You see, when we're not saturated in the truth of who we are in our role as mom, then we easily buy into the overabundance of lies and falsehood in motherhood, therefore starting us on a path where we allow motherhood to define us. Then the pressure to be the ideal wife and mother follows, leading to frustration, exhaustion, the feeling of being overwhelmed, and even burned out. And I can testify through firsthand experience that our husbands and our children are usually the first casualties when we buy into the lie that motherhood is our ultimate purpose. So this morning, let's remind ourselves just where our significance truly lies, where we should have our identity, and who defines our purpose. Because understanding and walking in our created purpose not only sets the foundation for our role as mother, but it is the only way we get the desired results from our roles as mom. Let me say that again. Because understanding and walking in our created purpose not only sets the foundation for our role as mother, but it's the only way we get the desired results from our roles as mom. The Westminster Catechism. I have to get a drink of water. I'm sorry, ladies. It's early. Okay. The Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We glorify God when we love him more than all the other loves in our lives, including our husband and children. We glorify God by fearing and obeying him, keeping our eyes on our future home in heaven, and being purposeful in knowing him more intimately. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and 6. We're familiar with it, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. We are commanded to have an unreserved, wholehearted commitment expressed in love to God first. The verse speaks of the completeness, the undivided devotion we are to possess. And the only way to express this kind of love is through obedience. Obedience is not to be equated with drudgery. It's all about joy. John 15, 10, 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus is telling us that his obedience to the Father was the basis of his joy. And so likewise, believers who are obedient to his commands will experience the same joy. We enjoy God by following his purpose in our lives, which enables us to experience true and lasting joy, the abundant life that he desires for all of us in all that we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Do you see how his glory and our joy coincide? Glorifying and enjoying God is not some burdensome task. You're not doing God a favor. It is a command to align your lives with his eternal goal. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. He created us for his glory. God's great aim in creating and governing the world is that he be glorified through the beauty and excellence of his manifold perfections. So, if our purpose is first and foremost to glorify God, this means that motherhood cannot be our ultimate purpose. Motherhood is just one part of our heart's endless pursuit to enjoy and glorify God. It is a created purpose. We look to him to define. God's purpose for every relationship we have and every circumstance of our lives, even one as world-shifting and challenging as motherhood, is to bring us into a deeper relationship with Christ in which our identity lies. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, we're made in the image, the very image of God. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days of our lives were written in God's book before we were ever born, confirming prior knowledge and plan for our lives. Ephesians 1, 4 says, God chose his children before the foundations of the earth were formed. And in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, we're told we are God's very own possession, chosen for the praise of his glory, and that we have an inheritance in heaven with him as his children. Did you notice the wording in each of those phrases? Are made, are fearfully and wonderfully. We're written, God's chose his children. We are God's possession, and we have an inheritance. These phrases all have one thing in common. They are not things done to us or for us ourselves, but by God. These are not things we can do for ourselves. We haven't earned them. We don't deserve them. That means that if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then you are in fact the recipient of all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, as Ephesians 1:3 tells us. Therefore, we can conclude that our significance has nothing to do with self or the do's and I didn't do's of motherhood. Rather, it is worth given to us by God. We are of immeasurable value to him because of the price he paid to make us worthy, the death of his son on the cross. Romans 5:11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Christ Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen, right? So in wisdom, we must acknowledge that our most delightful earthly blessings are where we can meet our greatest temptations. Let me say that again. So in wisdom, we must acknowledge that our most delightful earthly blessings are where we can meet our greatest temptations. And I would say nothing has more of a pull to draw and distract us from our purpose to glorify God as the pull of the love for our children. So whether you have one child or 10, motherhood can be a source of your greatest earthly joy as well as a source of your greatest earthly grief. Therefore, the Lord uses the invaluable role of motherhood to refine us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Did you hear it? Unveiled face means nothing impeding or obstructing the vision of Christ. The veil has been lifted and we now have direct access to our Father. From glory to glory, from one level of glory to another level of glory, from one level of manifesting Christ to another level of manifesting Christ. And wouldn't you say that we have plenty of opportunities to reveal Christ in our mothering? From one tantrum to another tantrum, from one glass of water at bedtime to another glass of water at bedtime. These are not only moments our children have a choice to obey, but we ourselves also have these ordained opportunities to continuously focus on Christ. There are layers of selfishness, control, pride within each one of us. And the more I study, the more this truth makes me realize the great lengths that God has gone to reveal and reconcile himself to us. It's a simple, overwhelming truth. Psalm 139:5-6. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. It matters who our hearts are devoted to, what types of things are going into our minds, what our bigger purpose is. Only then do we understand the grace we need as moms and the grace we need to give in the task of mothering. Our freedom in Christ is wholly dependent on his grace. Melissa B. Kruger states in her book, Walking with God in the Season of Motherhood. More than anything else in my life, motherhood has exposed my need for grace. Complaints flow too freely from my lips. Affection for my children can transform into anxious fear and worry. I can despair in my failure and become prideful in my success. I am not as patient as I dreamed I would have been. Without God's grace, even my love for my children can be eclipsed by my love for myself. This is how it works. God's grace, his unmerited favor, is never conditional on our performance, but always on the unchanging merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, challenges in our lives, including motherhood, draw us closer to God by allowing us to share in Jesus' sufferings and know the power of his resurrection, as Philippians 3:10 states. As we experience struggles and difficulties and hardships, we grow intimate with Jesus. As our challenges push us beyond our own power and understanding, we learn what it means to rely on the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. As that intimate relationship with God deepens, the Holy Spirit sanctifies our hearts and our faith grows. Then others see Christ's work in us, which glorifies God, and he uses it to draw others to himself, including your children. You will be surprised at the new fruit you will produce, and it will make a tremendous difference in your life if you walk in these truths and you meditate on them. We need the soul-strengthening power of Christ to love our children correctly. God is not reluctant in embracing you in your motherhood. He is zealous for you to surrender it to him. 2 Peter 3:18 calls us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of us waste too much time worrying about what other people think or listening to what other people say about what constitutes success. And when we listen, because we all want to be valued, loved, respected, admired, noticed. But why base our identity and self-worth on the opinions of other flawed beings when God's view of us is the only one that matters? The most important question we can ask ourselves concerning our identities and roles, who does God say I am? As a young mom, I can remember acting and believing that my value and my worth really did depend on whether or not I found success in the moments of motherhood. And that was anything from, did my son have manners at a play date? Did I feed him a balanced diet today? Or even a whole meal? Did I not allow too much screen time? Was it too much? Oh, how many times I needed the trophy for being the worst mother for not getting him to a doctor on time. I wasn't a mother long before my feelings started to overshadow truth. And I started having a sense of helplessness. Thinking at times, I don't know what I'm doing. Or wondering, what more can I or should be doing to make sure this boy turns out okay? I think we can all relate to that in one way or another. Once I found myself on my knees praying about how I was going to get veggies into this four-year-old. I mean, before motherhood role, I thought I was a confident, intelligent, capable woman. I mean, how could struggling with veggie wars all of a sudden be my greatest importance? My son Tyler was 4 years old and I was struggling to get in any kind of veggie. Just 6 months prior, he was eating them fine, but now battle of the wills. I could get around it at breakfast and lunch with some fruit and protein, but at least one meal had to have veggies, right? I mean, didn't my significance, my dignity, isn't this my purpose, the care of this child? So in a moment of I got this, I decided to give him veggie vitamins to ease the really misguided expectation in my own mind. And then reality hit one day. This veggie circumstance I was allowed to be in actually had nothing to do with veggies or my role as a mother. Tyler was at a girlfriend's house for a play date, and the plan was for him to eat dinner over there. You can imagine, huh? So I get a phone call. Laura, is it okay for Tyler not to eat any of the veggies I'm serving at the dinner table for everyone else? For he has boldly exclaimed that he is okay and does not need vegetable because his mother gives them to him in a pill. I quickly found myself defeated. I mean, how could I send this child over to her house with this kind of stigma? While everyone at her table was being asked to eat their veggies, my child was pardoned because I'm a horrible mother. I wouldn't have wished for anyone to have a food allergy. But if I could have given one to Tyler at that moment to justify my mothering, I would have in a heartbeat. That was just one of the moments the Lord graciously revealed to me that I was the biggest problem in my mothering. I treasure the Lord's loving kindness to me, that from circumstance to circumstance, he gently transforms me into the image of himself. It took years before I truly understood the completeness of the gospel in my mothering, and that the beating up of myself was not a form of self-discipline, but pride. When our sole purpose is mothering, instead of bringing glory to God, we easily find ourselves living in the extremes of emotions. One moment strutting with the crown of righteous motherhood, like one actually exists, to wishing food allergies on our children in a nanosecond. You see, when we fall into the trap of believing that we are the ones providing food, clothing, and shelter, when we think we are the ones giving them the love and the care that they need, building character into their lives and teaching them spiritual truths, instead of the instruments used by God as the vehicle for these needs, than we tend to view our role as mother through the lenses of our own emotions and expectations tainted by past experiences and present desires. And in my life, I have found that expectations are one of the enemy's distinct tools that aid my self-deception. Expectations on who or what I think I should be, or even things I think I deserve or don't deserve. Expectations can be good or bad, but we must realize that our enemy loves to distort them. When expectations are not met, emotional pain results, and we often place the blame on the something or someone who did not live up to that expectation, including ourselves, even though our expectations were unreasonable and filled with untruth. And if you're anything like me, you probably walked into motherhood with a lot of false expectations. Expectations on how your mothering should look. Expectations on how your friends should respond. Expectations on how your children should behave. I have also found that a byproduct of expectation is the insufferable mommy guilt. Our hearts are constantly troubled by the underlying currents of guilt and shame. We fear we will never measure up. So we measure our lives by others, both online and in real life. Now, mommy guilt has always been a reality since the fall. I mean, can we even imagine the self-blame Eve must have felt over Cain and Abel? But guilt and the millennial mom are like peanut butter and jelly. They just seem to go together. You know it's true, because if you're a millennial mom who just heard peanut butter and jelly, you likely just felt a stab of guilt that you fed it to your kid this week, and now you want to tune me out and Google the facts and statistics if the harms that can happen if you feed peanut butter and jelly too much to a child. In a world where information about everything is at our fingertips, it seems that everything has been elevated to the status of this matters. And we buy into the lies that say, if only we had the right formula, if only we had the right system, it will all be okay. So we tend to lose our identity and our purpose in between vaccines and bed routines. The completeness of loving God is then overshadowed by the details of life. Let me say that again. The completeness of loving God is then overshadowed by the details of life. Romans 2:12, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. When our expectations are based on God's word, they will never fail to be met. We can expect God to do exactly what he says he will do, and we can expect his creation to react exactly how he says it will. And that includes us, even in the role of motherhood. So while so many women are burdened with a heart for the superficial and material things in life, God has called you to a much greater responsibility, to display his eternal glory in your wifehood and mothering. I understand that young moms can feel an enormous amount of pressure and burden in everyday choices, but I know firsthand that when your hope is tethered in God's character rather than in you, your friends' choices, or Google, all of life's perspective changes, including motherhood. Our purpose, the gospel, the word of God, the character of God, prayer, his abounding grace, is not just confined to a small moment a day when you have your Bible open, but it's something that we must carry throughout the whole day. Now, it's true. We are transformed into the likeness of Christ by the Holy Spirit, but Scripture is also extremely clear that he uses the disciplines of God, the applications in your life, as the chief means of renewing the mind. Application is the difference in training for godliness or just living in the here and now. Motherhood, really all of life is ever changing. And it was only when I stopped trying to control my outward circumstances and really purposed myself in the training of myself, not just my child, that my focus shifted from trusting the Lord to provide in every moment. Hebrews 12:11. Listen, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward, it yields the peace of righteousness. It's work. Now, that didn't mean I didn't want to reorganize a toy closet. or that I didn't, that my child automatically stopped saying no. There were hard days. But my value and worth were no longer based on how I did in a moment. I found that if I had to change some previous choice I made, or I said the wrong thing while giving a consequence, or I didn't get to fit my work in that day, I wasn't crushed. I wasn't displaying anger to my family or my children. I wasn't feeling like a failure, totally, as a mom. I can rest in the fact that before the foundations of the earth, that I was loved and accepted in Christ, and that he cares about the daily details of my life today. That it was God who personally redirected my path or allowed a seemingly meaningless moment for a greater glory, even if I didn't see it. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Praise God. One of my greatest revelations God gave me in motherhood and really in life is that there's no tension between my finding my purpose in the glorification of God and my need to be satisfied. Okay, that is to say that God's purpose to be glorified and my passion to be satisfied are not at odds. They come together, finding my satisfaction in God. That is when he gets the glory and I get the joy. That is when making a simple meal can be an inexpressible joy. And believe me, it can be in the love of Christ. When I think of commitment and a call to motherhood, I think of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and especially Titus 2. So that they may encourage the young mothers to love their husbands, love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, be subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. First, we see here that loving our husbands is unconditional. It is based on God's will, not your husband's worthiness. Okay, let me say that again. We see that loving our husbands is unconditional. It is based on God's will, not our husband's worthiness. And that keeping a godly home with excellence for our husbands and for our children is a Christian woman's non-negotiable responsibility. And then Paul states the reason for the godly conduct. It is to glorify God by eliminating any reproach on Scripture. Ladies, do we understand that when we strive to love and respect our husbands while working at keeping a God-centered home, we are a testimony to God's transforming power of salvation? And contrary to popular opinion, the most important characteristic of a godly mother is her relationship, not to her children, but with her husband. This is the wisdom and the understanding in which we build our homes. What you communicate to your children through your marital relationship will stay with them for the rest of their lives. By watching you and your husband, they are learning the most fundamental lessons of a godly life: love, self-sacrifice, integrity, virtue, sin, repentance, sympathy, compassion, perseverance, gratitude, humility, understanding, grace, forgiveness. Whatever you teach them about those things, right or wrong, is planted deep within their hearts. There was a time when I was trying to do it all, learning how to respect my husband and help him, trying to be a godly mother, doing lots of ministry, and feeling very overwhelmed and worrisome. I was looking for what the word says, that there was peace in my walk with God. But to be honest, I was doubtful it even existed. I wanted that peace so bad. And never gaining any area, I went to a couple older moms and I asked. I found them in the church and I asked them, "How do you do it all?" And without hesitancy, they said to me, "You don't. And you can't if you want to bring God glory by being the most profitable in the role he has given you for that season." I learned that I had it wrong. It wasn't the peace I was doubting. I was doubting God's sovereign character and questioning his lordship, and I needed to repent. Remember Psalm 139:16? "And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." I needed to stop adding and start asking what my day should look like. Sincere repentance is the gift of freedom in a believer's life, and that includes mothering. Good works, like godly motherhood, flow out from your relationship with Christ. If we focus on godly motherhood instead of God himself, our wells run dry. We don't want to feed the lie that says we can obtain satisfaction in ourselves through motherhood. We must stay alert, because that is when we will look for energy and passion for motherhood in things like activities, self-care, physical rest, food, social media, ministry, friendship, instead of going to the source of life himself. You see, our tendency is to find our purpose in the good works we do for God and the people we impact for Christ. But that's getting the process backwards. Revealing God to others isn't the purpose of my life. It's the product of my life. My ultimate purpose isn't to love my children, my friends, or even my husband. It is to glorify God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. So like our salvation, our sanctification and good works were ordained before time began. Therefore, we can be assured that our self-death for Christ's sake not only produces fruit in our own hearts, but produces fruits in the hearts of our children, fruit that grows by the power of God. There was a moment at my son's wedding when he leaned over during the mother and son dance and he whispered in my ear, "Mom, I want to thank you and Dad for showing me what a marriage that honored God's looked like, and I hope my marriage can be what yours is." Now I know what you're thinking. Awe, isn't that every mom's desire? And I would have to say, probably. It was nice to hear, but perhaps different for why you think. You see, the Lord and I knew all the dying of self that I wrestled with in my marriage and in my mothering, along with all the moments over the years that my boy witnessed. But by grace, the Lord gave him eyes to see the testimony of perseverance and conviction, not perfection. And through tears on a dance floor in front of a couple hundred people, I knew that moment wasn't a victory in my mothering, but it was the glory of God on display. The Lord was giving me a blessing and a lesson of who he is, drawing me deeper into the realization that he is not like man. He does not lie, and he is the rewarder of those who believe, like Hebrew claims, that he is the one true God and his promises are true. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So we can clearly see that generational faithfulness starts with us, living in our created purpose to glorify God, and that the transforming of a heart takes place in the experience of relationships, which develops our biblical convictions. That God's favor is never earned by what we do or forfeited by what we don't do. It is appointed by and initiated by God himself. Also, that there's an order to be followed for the desired results for our mothering. Devoted to her God, devoted to her husband, devoted to her house. That is where godly motherhood flourishes, all the while displaying the beauty and excellence of his manifold perfections. You don't have to have it all figured out today. His grace is sufficient for today, as 2 Corinthians tells you. You can ask for wisdom for today, as James encourages you. For tomorrow, the question will undoubtedly be different. This is a contradictory world we're living in, and our little ones are experiencing it. There are no healthy external messages coming to our children, so I plead with you to ponder what the Lord has to say to you this morning. I know for myself that my motherhood and all that pertained to my family was a slow process of surrendering to his lordship. I love Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Untie my heart to fear your name. So this morning, let us rejoice in truth and enjoy the blessing of our Heavenly Father and the good gifts of our children, all the while living in the certainty that God has, since the beginning of creation, been fulfilling his purpose and plan in every area of your life. We are worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, our identity lies in Christ, not motherhood. Hence, may we train ourselves to be resolute in remembering that this world was created for another, not for us or our children. Colossians 3:2-4, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Father, for the sharing of your word through the Spirit this morning. Father, please bless every mom here in their pursuit of resonating your glory in their mothering. Please, Father, solidify deeper within all of us the truth that you are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you, Father, were the one that created all things, and because of your will, they exist and were created. In Jesus' name, amen.